I'm handing over to William, who will speak and close the proceedings. And I'm saying advice to you is fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed, Lord Morrow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we can rightly say this certainly has been the best conference that the DUP has ever had. I know that we were very much touched with the speech that our party leader made today. It was spoken from the heart. It was something that certainly touched many of us, especially those of us who have been with him on his journey right to this very present day. Change can be a very difficult process for parties, but we in the DUP listen carefully as our leader reminded us that for everything there is a season. I suppose I'm one of the old hands that has journeyed with Ian Paisley and Peter Robinson for over 40 years. Peter alone, and let me make this clear, Peter alone has chosen this time himself to stand down from the leadership of this party. I can assure you he has the confidence of this conference, he has the confidence of this party, and we are thankful indeed for the leadership which has given to us over many years, but we have to respect his decision. As we embrace change in our party leadership over the coming weeks, we can do so with confidence because we know that we are built upon the firm principles, principles which this party has stood for from its foundation and remains solidly upon this very day. The party that was raised up by Ian Paisley and Peter Robinson more than 40 years ago, I believe as a testimony to Peter's leadership right to this moment, will go from strength to strength because we are rooted on the solid ground of sensible unionism. Sensible unionism is a unionism that knows when to say yes to change, but also has the strength and the courage to say no, even when it's unpopular, on the occasions when no is the right answer. The work of this party and this party alone amongst unionist parties has delivered a sensible outcome in recent political talks. Now, others can carp and they can snipe on the sidelines, but they have no capacity to deliver anything. In actual fact, the Ulster Unionists left the executive a short time ago, and to be honest, the only ones that know about it are their friends in the press, because nobody knows that they actually were there in the first place to leave in the last place. It wasn't principle that Mike Nesbitt and real principle and backbone that Nesbitt got whenever he made his decision. It was raw, downright opportunism. And the reason for that was very simple. We are facing an election in May, and so therefore Mike and his team want you to forget the legacy that they left, want the unionist population to forget that it was that party that helped to destroy the RUC. It was that party that entered into agreement, that opened up the prison doors and let out the prisoners. And in reality, whenever they were in or were they out, because remember they talked about the hokey cokey. Well, let me tell you this. Mike Nesbitt was supposed to be, he said he was taking them out of the executive. But then the talks were the executive parties. And so Mike Nesbitt, although he was out of the executive, he wanted to remain an executive party. Mike had one leg in, he had one leg out, he had one leg in, and he shook it all about. He didn't know where he was. And neither does anybody else. And to tell you the truth, he certainly and his colleagues don't know either. But when it ever came to the talks, let's be honest, what solutions did they put on the table for to take Northern Ireland forward or to get us out of the situation, the economic situation, the financial situation that we're in, or any other situation? The answer is this: zero. They have nothing to offer, and they have nothing really to give. As I said, it was simply raw opportunism, which they thought that everybody in Ulster will forget what they did to this country, and indeed what they did to unionism. You know, in actual fact, whenever you think about it, this is a party that said, you know, all he wants was to get Gerry Adams to say that the IRA were in existence. Now, that's the sum total. And if he got them to say that, he would scurry back in to government. Of course, that would be quite understandable, wouldn't it? Because who brought the IRA into government? Sinn Féin IRA. That's when the two were absolutely together. The bombs were still going off. Terrorism was still going on in the country. And Trimble brought, the Ulster Unions brought them into government in this country. Let us never let them forget it. Because, you know, let me tell you this. They're the shinners on the union side because they want to rewrite history. Well, we're not letting you rewrite history. We're going to remind you of some of the facts and some of the realities. You know, whenever it came to the recent talks and also in the recent votes in the House of Commons and in the Lords, rather than standing up for the hard-pressed working families with a threat to the working tax credit, what did the UUP do? They kowtowed to the government whips and ensured the Tory policy success in the Commons. Now, of course, I know, Arling, that your Member of Parliament went in with the voting lobbies with us. But you know, the Ulsterians have a split personality because they have two MPs. What did the other MP do? Well, the new member for South Antrim, I'll tell you exactly what he did. He made you and me pay for him to go to London to abstain in person. Now, those who are old enough to know this, there was an MP from Fermanagh, and his name was Frank Maguire. And he made a statement one time that he actually went to the House of Commons one night, a Republican. He went to the House of Commons because he felt such a conviction about the problem, he would abstain in person. So now we've got the new Republican, Kinnaghan, abstain in person. He stays away whenever it comes to working tax. But let me tell you, friend, not a bit of wonder he did that, because he knows nothing about working. Because you ask the people in South Antrim, they know exactly what they've got since the month of May. I'll tell you something else. He doesn't know anything about the ordinary working man. Because let me tell you, it's very easy to sit in your big castle, behind your wall, far away from the awful anxiety that many of the working people have had to endure because of some of the cuts that the Tories have pushed through. By sharp contrast, what did our MPs do? We unitedly stood against those cuts, against the welfare cuts in the House of Commons. In actual fact, we took that principled stand. What happened in the House of Lords? Well, what about the Ulster Unions? Well, I'll tell you exactly what they did. The Ulster Unionist aligned Lords. Now, of course, that someone would say, we're not Ulster Unionists anymore. But let's just remember who they are. Trimble? Who was he? What party was he leader of? Ulster Unionists? Taylor? What party was he belong to? Ulster Unionist. McGuinness? Ulster Unionist. Laird? What did they do in the votes when they were talking? We're going through the lobbies in the House of Lords on the working tax credit that would actually harm the ordinary worker in Northern Ireland. Every one of them walked through the lobbies with the Tories. Yes, shame on them. But let me tell you, you have a job to do. Because let me tell you, the delegates of this place need to go out into the highways and byways of your constituencies. Let the people know exactly what the policy of the Ulster Unionist Party was. whenever they were taking the money off them. Because remember this, 105,000 families were relying on working tax credit in Northern Ireland. You divide that over 18 constituencies, we're talking about several thousand families in every single constituency. And many of these people, let me tell you this, they took on the challenge of a job even though it was low paid, because they believed in going out in the morning. They believed in sweating to earn their bread. They believed in working to feed their family. And they went out and put on the coat and put on their coats in the morning to go out and do a day's work. But they needed the working tax credit to make it profitable. But the Ulster unions voted to remove that from them. Let me tell you this, the policy should be, and the policy of this party is this, that work should pay. If you get up in the morning and go out to work, you should be able to feed your family. You should be able to clothe your family. And if the pay is not sufficient, that's where the gap is made up in the working tax credit. But the Ulster unionists were desiring to withdraw that from them. Ladies and gentlemen, we as a party must never slip into the sort of arrogant complacency that has characterised the Ulster Unions Party. But you know, as we draw our conference near to a close, I think you will excuse me to, when it comes to perhaps refreshing, because a lot of young people here. And I think it's important for me to refresh your memories of what Peter, his family, wife and family, and what my wife and my children and Nigel and others went through. Because let me tell you this, for 30 long years, longer than some of you are on this earth, for 30 long years, every day we faced the bomb, and we faced the gun, and we was not sure where we're coming home at night, but we did it. Why? Why did you stand in the gap? Why did the DUP take a resolute stand there? Because they believe in what they stand for. It wasn't popular. You are the offscouring of the earth. Let me tell you this. I remember a Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, the day my house was, 50 bullets went right through the house. Secretary of State come walking down. I can still see him, and he comes down. And I say, Secretary of State, thank you for coming. Do you know what he said to me? Well, William, I had to, you know, you are a fellow human being. That's what they care about, you and me. Of course, I told my constituents after that, I was speaking at an Orange rally after that, and I said, I have an announcement to make, and I have the authority of Her Majesty's Minister, First Minister in Northern Ireland, to say this. Do you know that your Member of Parliament is actually a human being? And I said to him, you know, I'm absolutely delighted he has found that out. That was why, because up until then, he was treating me like a dog. So therefore, I was glad he found out it was a human being. Let me tell you this. We have come through those days and those dark days. And thank God we are in a brighter place. And friend, let me tell you, and I don't want to go back to those days. But how did we come through that? I want to thank Peter Robinson for all he has done for this party. Peter brought us to our deliberations and with a strategic mind. He could see things 10, 15 years down the line. His mastery of detail, his capacity to tackle a brief is powerful. He deployed everything he had, not to benefit him. When I listen to some people, I can tell you, it makes me angry. He did it to benefit the people of Northern Ireland. Not only to benefit the DUP. Yes, there were decisions that were hard for us as a party to take. But there was a greater love. The love of the cause that we espouse from the depths of our hearts. And Peter Robinson, all of those 40 years, used every ounce of his common sense and his skillful brain and strategy to bring us through to this present situation. And you young people owe a great debt of gratitude to that man. Never forget. Well, as we face the future, we know that our party has the talent, we have the strength, we have the determination to make sure it is bright, the future's a bright one for all of our people. And I can say that with authority because I listened to a group of young Democrats speaking to this conference today. They are our future. And thankfully, our future is bright. They are our talent. And you know, this party chimes with the people of Northern Ireland. Hard work, helping people, protecting the vulnerable, honesty, integrity, standing up for fair play. These are core principles of Northern Ireland. These are core principles of the DUP. And so we face the upcoming election. I believe we can look the people in the eye honestly and with confidence. And I say this to you, every foot soldier, and that's every one of us, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have done what is right for Northern Ireland. We have done what is right. We are a party of conviction. And let me tell you this, if you believe with all your heart it's right, then never ever let anybody make you ashamed of what you stand for. What is wrong with so many in this world today? They stand for nothing and therefore have no conviction. I want you to go out and face the electorate in the month of May in the will of God. And I want you to go out with confidence, not in arrogance, with a humility. Because remember this, you ought to be humble that the people entrust you with their support. But go out with a confidence, knowing that what we have done, we did it for the good of the country we love. Now, there's others that want to sit back and they want to gain the fruit of labor, of somebody else's labor, or somebody else's sweat. Then let me tell you, it's up to every last person in this hall to get out there and to stand tall for Ulster. Never be ashamed and give to our children and to our grandchildren a better future. Friends, we can do it. Working together, I'm absolutely convinced we will do it. Thank you. I can't finish without singing. There'll always be an Ulster, and Ulster shall be free. If Ulster means as much to you as Ulster means to me. Mr. Chairman, party leader, deputy leader, this has been an historic day. It's been a good day because I believe that there is a confidence, there's a joy, an enthusiasm amongst our members. Let's prove it on the doorsteps as we face this election. Let's stand for the Queen.
God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble Queen, God save our Queen, send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. God save our Queen.
Queen, God bless you. Safe home.